From Moscow with love, this is Vasily and Natalie on Radio Sputnik. Online, on digital, AM, FM, and shortwave via WRMI. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Natasha,
hi. You know what I was doing yesterday?
I don't care.
That's because you don't know what I was doing yesterday.
All right.
I was listening to our old shows, trying to analyze whether we're getting better or worse.
Right, and I'm not even going to comment on that.
We are getting better and better.
No.
And our friend and listener, Stephen Graves, writes, "You two are like Lucy and Desi, Burns and Allen, Ozzie and Harriet."
No, we're not. Listen to this. It's a letter from Mark Fisher, also known as Bullwinkle Moose. This is a real letter, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it his name, Bullwinkle Moose?
We will assume it is.
I like the name.
He writes,
some name.
He writes, "Dear Vasily and Natalie, while I enjoy your show, I liked you two much better in the old days.
Ooh.
Times change, and you can change your names, study with the best voice coaches, and even assume new persona. But I'm not fooled for one second. To me, you two will always be Boris Badenov." Boris and Natasha, you guys know who these people are.
I don't.
The old Bullwinkle cartoon. Anyway, I used to watch Bullwinkle as a kid. Natasha isn't feeling very well, ladies and gentlemen, so excuse me. Anyway,
I'm sorry.
Back to the letter from Bullwinkle. So please give us a taste of that old vintage vodka again. Sincerely signed, Bullwinkle Moose.
Boris Badenov and Natasha Fatal.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like Bullwinkle had too much of that vodka. See, I told you, Natasha, our show is not only making me drink again, but our listeners, too. See?
Plus, our show is getting better.
No.
Well, that's my opinion. It may not coincide with the views of my co-host, but I am being quite frank with you. By the way, it would be fun to hear what you, our listeners, think about the show.
No, thank you. We don't care about your opinion. Keep it to yourself, imperialist warmongers. Right, Bullwinkle? Is that the way you want us to do the show?
Oh, is it getting more interesting with time? That's what I want to know. Or would you prefer us to change something?
Or fire
do
us?
Do you have any topics about life in Moscow you would like us to answer? Do let us know. Our email is moscowwithlove@gmail.com.
So, you wasted a good part of your life that you could have used on talking to your dumb dog or cat. You wasted a good part of your life by listening to our show.
Yes. And one of them gave me a very good idea. Yeah. Remember we spoke about what we like and what we dislike about Moscow? We recorded that show some 4 years ago.
Really?
Uh-huh. It was a long, long time ago. Now, let's see what has changed in the city and in our attitude to it. And name off the cuff 5 things we like about the Russian capital and 5 things we hate about it.
Oh, goody. Okay, first, things we don't like. Ladies first, Natasha.
The first thing that comes to mind is the gray winter weather that I hate so much when we don't see the sun for days and days. The temperature is hovering around -3°C. There is no snow and the clouds hang so low that it seems the skies are pressing you down into the ground. During such spells, everybody feels under the weather. Flu epidemic spreads around the city. And I am one victim of it. People are gloomy and depressed. All I want in such days is a hot bath and a warm bed. Your turn, Vas.
Wah, 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 wah. You know something? I have to agree with you. The weather does get very depressing here in Moscow. And as a driver, I can't but mention that for some reason, during this time, the roads are very, very dirty, especially dirty. It takes about 10 seconds for your car to go from clean, just out of the car wash, to filthy. Oh, what the heck? I'm not going to wash it till spring. What's the use, you know? In Soviet times, there were maybe just, I don't know, 5 car washes in the whole of Moscow. But now there are thousands. And guess what? There are more crap-covered cars in Moscow now than there were in Soviet times.
There were fewer cars at that time.
In our communist heaven, people would use buckets, hoses, water from the Moscow River, anything to make sure that particular Lada or Volga was shiny and clean. So I guess it's part a problem with the ever-present filth on the roadways, as well as human nature. Now, I've been to many cities in Europe, but nowhere have I seen so many dirty cars. Why is this so in Moscow? I don't know! I've asked around, but no one has a definite answer. Someone said it's all due to the fact there aren't as many grass lawns here. Lawns have a tendency to hold in the dirt, sand, and dust. That's what I was told. Maybe. I don't know. All right. Your turn, Natasha.
Number two. Speaking of autos, cars that are parked next to the tram lines, blocking the traffic. The trams can't move them, and as a result, you get enormous line of streetcars and paralyzed traffic. If I were responsible for the Moscow traffic, I would allow streetcar drivers to move these damned Porsches and Mercs. Mind you, these are mostly Porsches and Mercs, and believe me, their owners would never leave them next to the tramways anymore.
If Natasha had her way, she would probably gather all the Porsche and Merc drivers in Moscow, at her dacha maybe, have a friendly chat with them, give them some tea, and then shoot them. While on the subject of cars, something I can't understand is the gas price system here. In all countries, especially America comes to mind, petrol prices, gasoline prices, not only go up, but also down. Here, at least in Moscow, they only climb.
Exactly.
Mind you, Russia is a major producer of oil. Now, I was paying for gas the other day, drove up, told the guy to give me a full tank, and went to pay. Now, my tank is about 21 gallons, or roughly 80 liters. Now, I left a small fortune at the gas station. So while I was fishing out my credit card from the wallet, you know, I overheard a man in the adjacent line, an adjacent queue, ask for a mere 10 liters. And the way he said it, you know, he said, "That's all the money I have with me, you know, till next payday."
Poor guy.
I know. This was an elderly guy. You know, he was probably a pensioner. I don't know. It's very sad. Should I continue? Mm-hmm. It gave me a reality reboot, Natasha. You and I may whine all we want about Moscow and what we don't like about it, but you and I are very fortunate to be where we are and to do what we do, to have what we have, you know, to have achieved what we have in our lifetimes. You and your family and students, and me and my gas guzzler U.S. made truck, the numerous silly girlfriends and worthless life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I just needed to vent it all out.
Are you through, Will McAvoy?
No, ma'am. Will McAvoy? No, ma'am. Just for the record, let me say that the most expensive gasoline is in the Russian city of Anadyr.
Anadyr.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anadyr. Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was Anadyr.
No, it is Anadyr.
Okay. So the most expensive gasoline is Anadyr, and the cheapest is in Omsk.
Can you reveal your source?
No, ma'am.
Number three. People singing loudly in commuter trains. I understand that life is tough and they have to earn their living, but not at the expense of other people's ears and nerves. And while some of them sing something melodious, others just yell something abominable and pretend to be able to play the guitar. These people have been nicknamed musical terrorists. Yes, that's what they are. Can you imagine anything like that happening on a local train in Britain or the United States? I'd like to see that. Your turn, boss.
You know, I've seen kids drink whiskey out of the bottle and yell all sorts of stuff on a Dutch commuter train. Why is that? How is that
because
different?
Because that's different. They're not earning their money this way, and they don't do
beggars.
It all the time.
Oh.
They're not beggars. That's the way they try to earn their living. They walk from car to car
They're
and
professional
sing.
Musicians, Natasha. They earn a living by playing gigs in suburban trains.
Sure, but nobody asks them to do that.
And these kids, the ones I'm talking about on the commuter train outside of Amsterdam, they were obnoxious. And they were drunk. And this was during the day. This was at around like 11 o'clock in the morning. All right.
As usual, that's beside the point.
You know what I can't stand around here in Moscow?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I really find this revolting. Silicon-injected lips.
Oof, yuck.
Dyed black hair and 70s-style shades. the Moscow girls are wearing.
Are they?
All of them. All
really?
Of them. You don't see these things.
No,
you don't care.
Sandy
you
doesn't.
Well, you guys are of a separate flock. Listen, these young women are scary. They are all clones. It's like a prefab mini society. It's scary. Go Ooh. On. Your turn.
All right, number four, reckless and irresponsible minibus drivers,
oh,
most
yes.
of them immigrants, probably illegal, who talk on the phone nonstop and ignore traffic rules.
While on the subject, yes, I hate traffic in Moscow. This city proudly leads the world in traffic congestion. And I'm not going to bore you with any stats, but I will say that traffic is so bad that even the Prime Minister started using a helicopter to get to work. Oh, oh, watch out! There he goes! And there he goes!
Well, last but not least, the tiles that cover the sidewalk, our mayor's idea, and that makes it absolutely impossible to wear high heel shoes, especially now when the tiles are covered with a thin film of ice and water. High heels?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say high heels?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you wear sneakers, it's dangerous to be a pedestrian in Moscow streets.
I don't know where you get that. I mean, I wear sneakers and high heels all the time.
You do?
Yes. I think the tiles look wonderful. But the streets, yeah, the streets could use a bit more work in terms of keeping them clean from ice and snow. I do see a major improvement in this area. There are plenty of street cleaners out there, but at the same time, the thought of slipping and breaking something is not one I welcome, especially in my old age. Not to mention you, Natasha. Also, if I was to single something else I despise about Moscow, I would point the finger at the Muscovites themselves. And this connects with the subject of cleanliness, or is it cleanliness, or both. Why do a majority of our townspeople think it is normal to litter? People dump tons of garbage anywhere they like. Whether it's a cigarette butt, a candy wrapper, an empty bottle, or an old rusty gas stove Natasha came across in a forest outside of town.
Oh, yeah.
What is frightening is that this tradition is being handed down from generation to generation.
Okay, enough grumbling. Mm. Over now to the things we like about our great
Yay.
City. I like the way they rebuilt the city center. It is so much cozier now. I like the old streets with old-fashioned lanterns, little cafes, and small shops in them.
Yeah, I agree. I love the great big shopping malls, skyscrapers, the lights in the night, you know, the riverboat traffic, the parks.
And despite all that you said, the city has definitely become cleaner. Both the streets and the courtyards, especially the courtyards.
Really?
Yes. From April to November, there is green grass practically in every yard, and there are new playing grounds and sports grounds for the kids. We have both in our courtyard, and the kids spend all their free time playing football and volleyball and ice hockey in winter.
Yeah, there's a small skating rink just outside Sputnik News headquarters.
Oh, you see?
Yeah, and I pass it every time we finish recording here in this studio.
Well, there you are.
And it's very nice. It's well lit up, and
right.
the local kids play hockey.
Trolley buses in our street have been replaced with buses, and that was a very wise decision. Buses are not so bulky, and somehow they keep to the schedule. We have fewer traffic jams in our street now.
Fewer traffic jams?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Take my word for it.
No.
Moscow parks are being renovated. That's another thing that I like. We have wonderful parks, Sokolniki, Zmailovo, then Vasily's favorite Gorky Park, and many more.
Gorky Park is very hip and modern. Perhaps that's the main reason I despise it.
Oh, boy. For many years, parks here were in a terrible state. However, slowly but surely, they've been given a new lease on life. Last week, Kathy went skating with her friend on a new open-air skating rink in Izmailovo. There was a gala opening with lots of professional figure skaters performing. And then the kids went skating. They came home rosy-cheeked and happy. By the way, there was no snow in December, and Moscow's numerous ponds got covered with a very smooth layer of ice and turned into natural skating rinks.
Considering it was quite warm lately, good luck with that, Tonya Harding.
All right, we're back. This is From Moscow with Love on Radio Sputnik and WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida, the United States. We're talking about things we don't like and we like about Moscow. It's a love-hate relationship. And where were we? We were talking about parks.
Parks and skating rinks.
And skating rinks. So go ahead.
So the Chisty Prudy Pond next to the place where we live is one such spot where the kids can go skating. It's a natural skating rink. And my eldest daughter, Sandy, loves skating there at night. The ice rink is decorated with festive lights, and at night it is as light as in the daytime.
You know something? I might be criticized for this, but let me say something. What I love about Moscow, I love the abundance of everything. I guess it's an issue that goes back to the time I just arrived here in 1975 and was shocked. I was shocked at the way the locals lived their lives in a world of chronic all-round shortages.
Yeah. It was a no city.
I also respect a constant search for trends and new ideas on the part of young businessmen and entrepreneurs. Now, we mentioned parks and recreation areas that are getting a new lease on life, right? But this takes the cake. And please tell me if you've ever come across anything similar in your part of the world, okay? Here we go. Now, we've all heard of drive-in movies, right? Right. There were several here in Moscow, too. But have you ever heard of a bed-in movie theater? I haven't. One of Moscow's biggest movie theaters, the Kino Star Deluxe, or Deluxe.
Deluxe, yeah.
In Russian, it's Deluxe. It's a multiplex in the northwest part of the city. Anyway, they've removed all seats from one of their movie halls, and they replaced the seats with beds.
You must be kidding.
It's true. It's a true story. I want to go there. I want to see this. It's a joint venture with the Swedish furniture giant IKEA. The movie hall has 17 double beds in a project called It Wakes Love. Well, they could have worked more on the title.
Can you lie on these beds?
Yes, that's what you do. You lie on these beds.
And now, watch the movie.
Yes. Now, before you get any strange ideas.
I'm already getting them.
And I'm sure I know what you're thinking about, Natasha. Let me stress that...
As soon as the lights are out...
Shh! Bed sheets are changed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's official. Bed sheets are changed between screenings.
Also, various new cafes are opening all over Moscow. One of them I mentioned recently, it's run by our former colleague Linda and is called Primitivo. It serves Italian food and wine and is not far from the studios.
I applaud the city government for adopting laws banning smoking in all the Moscow cafes and bars. I know it sounds strange coming from a smoker, but still, I think it's a major breakthrough for a country where almost everyone smokes. Hey, Bullwinkle, you still with us? Listen to this.
Poor Bullwinkle.
I believe the decadent West is to blame. A 1998 study of Russian smoking habits found a direct correlation between smoking and exposure to Western influences, such as Western tobacco companies marketing cigarettes as a symbol of glamorous Western lifestyle. That's according to the Washington Post. There. You happy? You happy, Bullwinkle?
We're all very happy. And you know what else I like? I like our taxi service. You have a great choice.
Yeah.
Nothing funny here.
No, serious. You're true. Yeah.
Different companies, different prices, different cars, minivans, trucks, whatnot.
Yeah.
Practically all of these agencies are quite reliable.
And with all the phone apps available, it's no longer a problem to get a ride. And speaking of transportation, there's one more thing I love about Moscow. Wi-Fi.
Yes.
It's all over the place.
Exactly.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Not a blind spot left in our great city. Not even the metro. There are plans to make it the most connected in the world with free, fast Wi-Fi, even accessible in the deepest tunnels.
And that's great.
Soon, all lines of the Russian capital's famous subway system, the world's second busiest, by the way, with some 7 million passengers a day, will have broadband internet.
In London, they don't have it.
Nah, 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 nah. Mm-hmm. Currently, over 700,000 passengers already connect daily to the World Wide Web. Now, I mentioned smartphone apps and immediately remembered the one that I installed recently. This is something I also like very much about Moscow. This app is called Master, as in, you know, Master, as they say in Russian, as in jack of all trades, and helps find the right person for the right job. When you open it, you see a menu where you can choose anything from calling a plumber or electrician to getting Santa Claus to come to your kid's Christmas party.
All in all, our city is alive and kicking
Yay!
Like never before.
That's true,
Don't believe us? Come and see for yourself. While here, visit us at the studio.
I doubt it.
Have lunch with us.
They won't.
Have your picture taken on Red Square.
Not anytime soon. This is From Moscow with Love, time for Quotes from Our Russian Teachers, where we recall some of the unique things our Moscow school teachers used to say, hoping to make a point or simply sound witty or stupid.
Let's look at some typical reprimands the teachers write in the notorious dnevnik, or logbook.
Валялся на уроке под партой! Spent the entire lesson lying under the desk.
Lots of boys, when they're bored, start horsing around and, among other things, slide under the desk where they lie while the class roars with laughter and the unlucky teacher is trying to fish them from under the desk.
How do you like this one? Yelled like mad about the student next to him threatening to eat him.
Well, if someone threatened to eat me, I would yell too.
Oh, this one is a gem. Went to the boys' room and returned intoxicated.
That's obviously a senior student. My husband told me what they used to do during recess. They had once managed to run to a local liquor store, stand in line, buy a bottle of wine, drink it, and come back in time for the next class.
Oh, I once got drunk before the first class of the day. You know something? It all has to do with trying to look tough. It also has something to do with being pathetically stupid. Continuing, talking to himself in biology class.
The kid must have been delirious from all that information. Botany, zoology, anatomy, genetics. Ooh.
Fell from the desk during recess.
I remember falling from desks, chairs, windowsills. Mm. That's gravitation for you. Mm-hmm. I noticed it is especially strong inside school buildings.
Yes. Entered the school building through the window.
It's so much more fun than entering through the door. Our apartment is on the ground floor, and in summer, I used to enter and exit only through the window. It made Mom mad because I left a lot of dirt on the windowsill, but as soon as she would look away, I would do the same.
Mm. And if you out there remember some funny, stupid, original remarks you heard from your teachers, please share them with us on From Moscow with Love. Our email is moscowwithlove@gmail.com. And there will be more quotes from our Russian teachers next week. This is From Moscow with Love via Radio Sputnik and WRMI.
For all the latest news and information about us and our show, visit our Facebook fan site at facebook.com/FromMoscowWithLove.
Browse through a gallery of old pictures from the golden days of shortwave radio. There's Joe Adamoff, Karl Yegorov, Boris Belitsky.
And there are new pictures from a recent photo shoot in this here studio.
Yes, you can leave a comment or suggest a topic for a future broadcast.
Or simply like us, like Louise Morris in London, the UK, and Ethan Avila in Mexico City, Mexico did.
Yes, thank you so much.
And it looks like the download issue at the Radio Sputnik website has finally been resolved by the Radio Sputnik scientists.
Mm, that is right. You can now not only listen online, on demand, but also download any of our previous episodes from the Radio Sputnik website at sputniknews.com/radio.
Snezhana Konakova writes, Yay! The download button appeared. I can listen to my favorite radio show again. I missed you.
And Harryman40 says, Great, we can download MP3s again from Sputnik. Isn't that nice, Natasha?
Well, I'm afraid our time's up. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you again next time. Till then, take care.
Stay safe.
And do svidaniya.